Well, this is Mental Health Radio, taken from us, and that's our theme music from Joe Cocker called Respect Yourself. And the last couple of weeks we've had, I've done pre-records in the editing studio, so I'm feeling a little bit rusty about going live. But I'm host Sheldon Brown, and we've got our technician here, Declan Curran. And Mental Health Radio is brought to you and funded by Ember Wellbeing Trust. Now, that's new. I have announced that earlier, but certainly Ember Wellbeing Trust is the funder, but brings you Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us. And in fact, yesterday was a very big day for Ember, for all 300 staff at Ember Korowai Takatini. Yesterday was the first official day for the organisation, which is born from Framework and Connect Supporting Recovery. It was a special day of celebration. There was chocolate cake and carrot cake, which I certainly tucked into. So that special day of celebration at Ember was to mark the significant milestone of creating a merged organisation out of Framework and Connect. So to mark this milestone, Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, brings listeners today the highlights of the Ember launch. Now, this launch was at the Vodafone Event Centre mid to late last month, and included dignitaries, including the Minister of Health, Dr. David Clark, who congratulated the merged organisation for its innovation and initiative. Now, Take It From Us has edited the recording of this launch event at the Vodafone Event Centre in Manukau City. My little personal story there was that I thought, now, how am I going to get out to Manukau at 6 o'clock at night from the city? I thought, well, the Southern Motorway isn't really an option, so I thought, well, why don't I take the train? I'll drive to Newmarket from the city, jump on the train. Didn't think, of course, that Manukau Station is not on the main south line to Papakura. So I was watching the stations go by, Papatoa, Puanui, and there was a young schoolboy beside me sitting on the train. And I said, oh, well, when does Manukau come up? And he said, well, it doesn't come up on this train because you've got to catch a different train altogether. And I said, well, what am I going to do? And he said, well, get out at Homai, cross the tracks, jump on another train back to Papatoa, and then you have to catch a special train, which is the Eastern Line, back to Manukau. And I thought, well, that sounds like too complicated. I'll get myself a cab from Homai. So I walked out of the station at Homai, was greeted by a huge car park. There was a bus stop there, but no sign of any buses. And I thought to myself, well, here I am in a strange, almost like a strange country, with no way of getting to the Vodafone Event Centre. So anyway, a good Samaritan came past me, a girl who had heard my conversation on the train, and she said, would you like a ride to the Vodafone Event Centre? And I said, well, thank you very much. You've really saved my life. And she drove me probably about 10 minutes right to the front door. So that was a wonderful example of a good Samaritan, and well, I don't know that there's any chance of her listening to Take It From Us today, but thank you very much for that.
You realise you did an Uber driver out of a job on that one, don't you?
Oh, what all the way from Newmarket?
I don't know, probably sitting there crying at the moment.
Well, it cost me nothing with my gold cab on the train, so Uber's not an option.
Actually, it's funny you should say that, because I don't know whether the cost of GPs has come down, but it used to be about $51 for me, and when I went in the other day, she said $18 for 50, and I said, say what? I said, $80. She said, no, $18.50. I thought, my goodness.
Must be your community services card.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, We in this broadcast that we have edited, it is a continuous broadcast, runs for about just over 40 minutes. We didn't have the opportunity to introduce the speakers, but just to give you a bit of a clue, the first speaker is the new EMBA chairperson, Colin Dawson, followed by the Minister of Health, Dr. David Clark, then our new group CEO, Darryl Bishop, and then Fui Moana Tuiasau, who was the chairman of Framework Trust. He is now the chair of EMBA Services, and he's a teacher at De La Salle College, and he introduced the choir from De La Salle College. And at the end of this, you'll hear two wonderful tracks by that choir. They're a little bluesy. So we'll go to our USB, Declan.
Sounds good to me.
Tikia katoa, kia ora katoa katoa. Welcome everyone to this happy occasion tonight, the celebration of the joining of two wonderful organisations into one new, promising, larger organisation. I'm Colin Dawson, and I've been involved with Connect and Framework for the last 5 months as the incoming independent chairperson. And it's always interesting when someone is new to an organisation, the first impressions, it's people are open and listening and very alert to the culture of an organisation. And the very, very strong feeling that I got was about energy, acceptance and warmth, and a culture of belief that the people that work with both Connect and Framework are very confident in their belief of making a difference. And it would be lovely if I could say that all organisations that I've been associated with have that sort of belief, but they don't always have that energy and belief. So it's a wonderful gift that's been built up over a long, long time. It's very precious. A special welcome to Connect's long-serving komatua, Reverend John Marsden. John's been recently recognised in the Queen's Birthday Honours list with award of Companion of the New Zealand Order of Merit, one of New Zealand's highest honours. Matua John has been a board member, komatua, and friend to all Connect for over a decade now. His love of people and his passion for community services has been rightly acknowledged, as well as his service to Māori communities and mental health in general. Matua John also gifted our new organisation, EMBA, with the words Korowai Takatini, which means a cloak of many parts. Sometimes mergers of organisations happen for some very difficult reasons, either competition or an erosion of their impact in society. And that's very difficult when that happens for people, difficult for staff and difficult for management and boards. So I'm delighted to say that we've had complete opposite. We've had a meeting of the minds and these wonderful organisations coming together, not because they wanted to be bigger and grander, but because they saw they had lovely complementary attributes and the vision being so close together that has made it just a wonderful connection. EMBA is all about that energy and passion for doing things and making a difference, and it comes down to the people that offer services throughout a large geographical area. We've got 28 services now in the combined organisation called EMBA, and those services span from Kaitaia in the north down through Rodney, North Shore region, which has a massive expansion of population at the moment, down across central South Auckland, Franklin, the Waikato, Rotorua, Lakes and Bay of Plenty. So there are 300 staff members, committed people working with, at any one time, over 2,500 clients. So they're there to make a real difference in the lives of those individual people. It really helps, I think, to think about the actual individual people receiving services. It's not an abstract concept, but it's our staff helping people day to day. We're delighted to have everyone here to share the launch, so it's a very happy occasion. And just before I invite the Minister to speak to us all, I just wanted to say that healthcare, we know, Minister, is a very challenging area. It's always changing. The demand can be insatiable. It is insatiable. And we're all aware that record numbers of people are accessing mental health and addiction services. And most of those services are provided in the community by organisations such as EMBA. So I've said earlier there's a real belief that EMBA can make a difference. We are here to help, and we're looking to engage further with government agencies to assist in any way that we can be of help.
Thank you, Colin, for the introduction and kind and accurate words about the role of the Health Minister. It is a real pleasure, I have to say, to be here today to launch EMBA. This is one of the most fun bits of my job. I put my hand up for health, and I can tell you there wasn't a long queue of Cabinet colleagues behind me. I was the only one. But I did it because I believe there's a real opportunity right now to make a huge difference in people's lives as we invest in the health service, and particularly in the area of mental health. I want to start, though, by congratulating you on the work that you have all done to bring EMBA Korowai Takatini to help people with mental health and wellbeing needs. I'm aware that this hasn't happened overnight. It really does align with the current government's focus on putting mental health and wellbeing at the heart of what we do, helping to ensure better and fairer outcomes for our young people. And I want to acknowledge that the contributing organisations have already contributed so much, and often in a really in an environment of really scarce resource. You are the types of organisations that make every dollar invested go a long way out of the hard work and dedication of those who work in the field. One of my top priorities as Minister is improving our country's mental health and addiction services. And as you will probably know, I initiated our government's inquiry into mental health and addiction in our first 100 days in office. And that inquiry reported back to me in November last year, He Ara Oranga, and from there, we have proceeded to make our own response to that report, and we released our formal response accepting 38 of the 40 findings or recommendations of that report, acknowledging that some require further work from government before we work out quite how we're going to approach them. But we have accepted a large number and begun work in earnest on those recommendations. And that panel heard people up and down New Zealand. They received 5,200 submissions. They met in 26 locations at public meetings, at which over 2,000 people turned up. They heard the hard stories, the challenges of people up and down the country, including the stories that were uncomfortable, that said where our system was not helping people or where it had failed people. And it's an inquiry that had strong Māori and Pacific representation on the panel, and heard the voices and captured the voices of Māori and Pacific people. So overwhelmingly they heard that our system's not working for everyone, that services are under pressure, and that we need to take a more holistic approach to wellbeing. And as it currently stands in this country, we do have mental health and addiction services focused on those with the highest needs, and we acknowledge that demand for those services too is increasing. But people with emerging issues, with mild to moderate mental health and addiction needs, have largely been left on their own or have had to wait too long for help. So that inquiry charts a new direction for mental health and addiction services in New Zealand, one that puts people at the centre of our approach. And we've acknowledged, as the report makes clear, that it's important that our services are easy to access for Māori and Pacific peoples and designed in culturally relevant ways so that they are accessible. And I'm very proud of the changes we've announced in Budget 29 to respond to that call. We have recently announced an initiative to expand access and choice for primary mental health and addiction support, which aims to make sure that in 5 years, everyone who is in need can reach out and receive the support they need where they are for their mental health or addiction needs. That's an investment of close to $500 million in that primary care initiative, and recognising the importance of culturally designed services, $62 million of that is specifically ring-fenced for kaupapa Māori services, which are becoming increasingly important. In putting those services into place, Māori, people with lived experience of mental health and addiction, Pacific peoples, young people, the rainbow community and people living in rural areas will be a part of the design process. We need greater access to services and more choice that is relevant to people so that they can recognise a service that is relevant to their needs. And that could include support in those organisations to build skills and resilience for people to manage their own mental health if appropriate, or ongoing support through therapy or distance counselling for people who can't make traditional appointments. We're expecting it to have a strong peer support element to it, where we give people with lived experience who understand the needs of those with mental health and addiction challenges to work alongside people and to be appropriately supervised to assist in that effort. And I can't say that reshaping our country's future approach to mental health and addictions will be a small task. It won't. It will take some time. But it is, from my perspective, terrific to see organisations like EMBA pushing ahead with their own initiatives. And that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to be here for today's launch. The government in the recent budget also progressed a number of other initiatives that respond to the inquiry. But while it was going on, we also have proceeded with some other things that we believe will help in the area of mental health and addictions. We've rolled out in Canterbury and Kaikoura the Mana Ake program so that we now have mental health support in every primary or intermediate setting in the Canterbury and Kaikoura district in response to the earthquake events. We've got a nurses in school programs that's now on all up to decile 4 schools, and in the budget we've announced to start rolling out to decile 5 schools. And we've also announced PICI, which is a program in the Greater Wellington area with talking therapies at its heart for 18 to 25 year olds. And we've also invested in mental health and addiction facilities, recognising that lots of our settings are no longer able to deliver contemporary models of care. It's also true that the budget put aside money for Te Ara Oranga, the Northland meth pilot, to give that a continuous funding into the future. And we've also put money into pregnancy and parenting services that will enable 2 more sites to be rolled out, bringing the total to 6 sites around the country. And money's been set aside for acute drug harm responses as well. $8.6 million in that area, and $8 million over 2 years for a drug early warning system and for a range of other responses to the synthetic drug harm that's been caused in our community. And vaguely locally, we've also supported the construction of new alcohol and drug detoxification beds at the Auckland City Mission, which will allow for the integration of health and social services in one location, making a range of help available to vulnerable communities seamlessly and at the right time. Now, I recognise that you at EMBA have started critical change, motivated, just as the government is, to do more for the people that you serve. You've recognised society's need to support mental wellbeing by including housing and social enterprise in your approach. By so doing, we can expect that you will nurture and support people to help them identify and build their strengths and to achieve better mental well-being. And that all-of-society approach is critical, in my view, to improving our mental health and addiction responses. At the formal launch with the Prime Minister, who I have to say has been really inspiring in this area, who has is seized of the opportunity to make a difference in mental health and addiction, and I find it inspiring to work alongside, I was asked about the overlap at that launch of the issues of substandard housing and mental health and addiction issues. And, you know, naturally enough, as you all know, I said they are intrinsically linked. We know that a person's social context has an impact on their mental health and well-being, and vice versa. And that's why I say Emba Korowai Takitini's approach to including those societal impacts in your work is incredibly important. It's fantastic to see Emba being launched as you work towards improving the well-being of people living in your communities. Your Korowai Takitini, gifted by Kaumātua John, and meaning cloak of many parts, as Colin has referenced, reflects the wraparound nature of your services and is a great reminder of what we are all working together to achieve. I want to congratulate you again for your hard work toward launching Emba. I look forward to hearing about your progress and wish you every success. Thank you for including me as a part of your event today. It is a truly special day.
Matua, in a fire, in a rorangatira tanga, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Hello, everyone. I'm Daryl Bishop. I'm delighted to stand in front of you and introduce myself as the very first group CEO for Emba Korowai Takitini. And for now, I'm the only one. So I'm very excited. For us, this is a celebration of an end point, really, in that we're launching, but we're celebrating both the journeys of Connect and Framework to this point, but also the end of a 12-month process to get to today, because this is a big day for us, as you can tell by the waver in my voice, which is not usually here. But it's also the beginning, and as somebody kindly pointed out to me, I think it was Sir Bob, the work starts tomorrow. So today, we're going to relax. We're going to have a good time. So I'm here for two purposes. I don't start that work till tomorrow. My role is I get a little bit of time up here to add some personal thanks, some people who may have been forgotten or without whom we wouldn't be here tonight. First of all, can I add my thanks to John, our Kaumātua. John's a very special person to me because whenever I need support, John is always there and his door is always open. John is a big part of our journey, and it's great that you could be here tonight, John, to see us off on this great journey. I just also want to add my thanks to Colin. In the process, Colin's a very modest man. In this process, we were incredibly fortunate to pick up Colin. He was standing by the side of the road. And to get somebody with such governance experience and such knowledge to come in and be the first independent chair of Emba Korowai Takitini was a I also want to acknowledge the Minister, but I can't really say much more than the Minister said himself. I think the Minister's realised in preparing his speech tonight that this isn't accidental. We're not here accidentally, coincidentally, around the same time as the wellbeing budget announcement. We're here because of the Mental Health and Addiction Inquiry and also because of the wellbeing focus of this government. And we feel very strongly that combining our resources and launching EMBER, Kura Waitakitini, we can do more because we want to do more. We believe in what we do. We think our services are fabulous, but we want to do more. So I think you hit the nail on the head. This is a very special night for us, but this is the beginning of us doing more. As I said, this has been a 12-month journey. It actually started with a conversation between myself and Spencer in a car park outside Mahitahi in South Auckland. So a very inauspicious start, leaning over a Kia Karens, having a conversation about the sector, frameworks, not having a CEO, and how we might work together. The 12 months that have followed have been a lot of hard work. Along the way, I've learned so much about what it takes to get a merger to this point. I've learned how you need two boards, committed and passionate to the process, and how you need two groups of leaders who want to do the hard mahi beyond their normal work, still run two organisations and get the job done. Next, what can I say about our teams? I think it's been touched on already. From day one of this conversation, it was really, really clear that we had our staff of both organisations totally understood the benefits of us having a shared future together. I haven't really spoken to any staff member in either organisation who needed convincing that it was a good idea. They wanted to know how it was going to work and what they'd get paid, but they didn't need to be convinced it was a good idea. And the other part of that was when people ask me why I'm so confident this will be a success, I tell them it's about the people, the people, the people. We are so blessed with the 300 staff members we have, I think we could do anything. So my hat's off to the passion, many of them are here tonight, the skill, the commitment and the work that they do. Without them, then none of this would happen. I just want to acknowledge the people who use our services and their families, many of whom are here tonight. We're on this journey together, and EMBER Kura Waitakitini will always be a place where we respect and honour people's journeys. We are all about the recovery journey people are on and walking it together, side by side. Our reason for being is our belief that hope always exists and that there is a light, however low, that can be nurtured to burn brighter. The recovery story rarely changes, but it never loses its potency. There is always a flicker of promise for that journey of change.
I had a really long history of drug and alcohol abuse that started when I was in my early teens. Life was a real mess. I was always in a lot of trouble. I just really struggled to do life without the aid of a substance. I had been attempting to do recovery for a long time, and I guess when I found out about peer support and the peer way of doing things, that kind of really aligned with my own internal thought processes that were going on around what I wanted for myself. The ability to be able to connect with somebody through having that shared lived experience. When I discovered that I could enter into this thing called peer support and use some of that lived experience after coming out the other side of it to support other people, I was just like, man, this is what I want to do. Life is actually quite amazing now. Today I am able to hold my head up high. I'm in a job that I'm really proud of, working for an organisation that I'm really proud to be a part of. And I just feel like I'm contributing towards making a difference. And it's really cool.
My name's Hiria. I'm very isolated and shut myself off to a lot of people. I was looking for a job, couldn't get a job. Obviously looking for something to do, you know, because having nothing to do is really hard. I somehow managed to get onto each employment. Besides, you know, giving you a better advantage getting a job, because, you know, they might help me with my CV. They're the good guys, you know, they're like a friend to you. You know, they just talk to you because sometimes you need someone to talk to, like a friend would talk to you, you know. It wasn't several months after I joined up, I got a job. You know, I've been here for more than a year now. I didn't think I'll get this far, and I do enjoy coming here, but at the same time, I struggle every day because of my condition. Yeah. it's really hard. Back last year, I spent the whole year working till 3 o'clock and I'd finish at 3. Now I work till 5. I didn't think I'd be able to make it to 5 without, you know, experience some kind of anxiety or whatever, and I didn't. I mean, you know, the boss said maybe he'd give me a raise in like a few months or something like that, so I feel pretty good.
You know, I came through the social welfare system. I was abandoned when I was 5. Between 7 and 16, I would have been to 48 different homes. So I was brought up in the system, by the system, in my older life. You know, I'd been in the army, done lots of things in the army. And when I got older, I thought, why am I here? I don't want to be fighting America's war. They could bite me. So I got out. I went downhill after that. I got depressed. The fact that I'm still here is down to the people that I've had around me. It's because of how they dealt with me and their respect for my dignity at that low point. If it had been anybody else, I wouldn't listen. Right people, right place, right skills, right attitude. Strength when you have no strength. Power when you've got no power. And a lifting arm to help you when you're broken. Because of that, I'm a better person. I'm a lot more stable. I want to be an advocate for those who don't talk like me. I want to be a voice for somebody that says, oh, you're a nutter. And then confront that. So it's passing that on.
Kia ora to the brave people that just shared their voices and their stories. Can we give them a round of applause? This poem is woven with some of the words from Michael Hawkey, Elena Warman, Christina Davitafu, Helen Robert Shaw, and Mike Bain. Ember, a glowing fragment, a spark burning low, lightweight and life. The smallest things matter most. They say when the ember glows, it is time to call it a night. But not here. We see a gentle burning to reignite new life, a flicker of a promise for a journey of change, a promise of butter melting on fresh-baked hot bread, an embrace in the colourful chaos, a long sip of fresh water, a sunlight kiss on skin, a lighthouse in the grey, a sea changing throughout the seasons, a Jaffa tasting, changing taste till you get that sweet cocoa centre. Ember, the very thing that signals the fire to end, is the very thing that can spark it again, a hue of hope smouldering in the ashes. He a te mana nui te o, he tangata, he tangata, he tangata. It is the people, the people, it is the people, it is the people, for the people, by the people. This coming together, this weaving of care, this daytime family of joy, empowering a kuruwai takatini, a cloak of many pieces. These people that keep the fires burning, holding the ember when others cannot, saying, I will believe in you until you can believe in yourself. To be a mirror of care, kindness, respect, reflecting back another's magic so that one day they can believe in their own reflection. Because we know people heal through aloha and support. Here we say, you have a place in this world. Ember radiates a constant source of heat, heat of hope, heat of promise, heat of new, till you find your sense of self and know you matter and you are worthy. So find these embers, blow a breath of life till the glow cannot be ignored anymore, then watch the fires burn.
The most important people here tonight are not sitting at the front. They're you, the staff members of Ember. You are going to make the difference. The board will follow the procedures, follow the law, and do all the governance stuff, but you, as the people interacting with those who are most vulnerable, many of them lonely, many of them desperate, many of them with severe mental illnesses and intellectual handicaps, it's to you this evening's about. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The vulnerable New Zealanders, many of them are lonely, many of them, families have rejected them. One of the reasons I do this job for Ember is because the first time I ever saw my mother very, very sad was way back in the 60s. We lived in Onehunga. I had an uncle, Vaisere, who was in Oakley Hospital. They didn't have community mental health facilities. It was all lock-up. You got mentally diagnosed and you went into Oakley or King's Seat or Parehurehu in Porirua Hospital, and you were locked up. Mum and I was about, I better not tell the boys my age, I was very young. We used to catch the bus from Onehunga, the number 10 bus, to town, and then caught another bus from the bus central down the bottom of town to Point Chevalier. The bus never stopped in front of Oakley. And later on, I figured out why. It stopped at Point Chevalier, and Mum and I walked for about a kilometre to get to Oakley. And we went in there and visited Vaisere, and he was sad. And Mum would always ask the doctor, can we take him home? The doctor said no. I visited three or four times, and I always remember Mum asking, can I take Vaisere home? Doctor said no. We didn't have community facilities like we have now. It's one of the strongest motivating things in my life is to make sure that we have community facilities that can look after people with mental illnesses in the community, not locked up. So I thank all of you for being here tonight. As Daryl said, the work starts tomorrow, but tonight we're just going to enjoy ourselves.
Kia ora tātou. I had been asked also just to give a brief, very brief explanation. Korowai takitini, sorry. Takitini comes from a very well-known proverb, which is, e hara taku toa I te toa takitahi, e ngari I te toa takitini. And so that really means that my fame or my success is not earned by myself alone, but is earned by the combination of everyone's support to me. And so when we brought the name of Korowai Takitini together, we actually looked at what had just occurred. And that was about the bringing together of a whole range of services. Framework had a number of services which Connect didn't have, and vice versa. And as a result of that, we believed in our meeting on that particular day that that it was truly an effort of takitini. I think it took us possibly less than an hour to come up with that name. But I think that we all agreed that it hit the nail on the head right from the beginning. So Korowai gives us an illusion that there's warmth involved, which is about embers. It also gives us an illusion that of takitini, which is about a whole combination of different people, of different services, of different ideas, of different people that will be served under this organisation, hence the name. And so with that, let me just close with prayer. E te atu kahalawa, Almighty God, I hale mai mātou katoa I muia a koe I tēnei pō. We come before you in this evening. Ka whakawhetai tu mātu ki a koe, ma aumena ki tangata ora hina tautiakina ki a mātou. We give you thanks for leading us, guiding us, and giving us wisdom in the things that we do. Hei mō koe I a mātou e Ihoa. Go before us, O Lord. I roto e ngā āhuatanga timata, mahi, whakaotinga. Go before us in the work that we begin, in the work that we do, and that the work that we also is completed in you. I te mea ko koe te timatanga, ko koe te whakaotinga, ko koe te alipa, ko koe te omeka. For you are the beginning and you are the end. You are the Alpha and the Omega. Nō rere e te atu kahalawa, noho mai tau airua tapu, ki roto ki a mātou katoa. So Almighty God, may your Holy Spirit reside within us, tonight and forevermore. Amen.
Hei kona titiro atu ai, ora mate he au koe noa ai. Whakaria mai tauripe ka kia, all right.
dreams ain't easy. Just stick by your plan. To go from voice to man, you must act like a man. When it gets hard, y'all, just grab what you know. Stand up tall and don't you fall. You will know. You will know.
And I know you're crying, 'cause it's all in his vein. And the things you want, you can have. It just all went away.
Life ain't over. Ooh. Just take the wins and make the amends. And the vibe will take you far.
Your dreams ain't easy. Just stick by your plan. To go from voice to man, you must act like a man. When it gets hard, y'all, just try what you know.
Told
you, don't you fall.
You will know.
You will know. You will know. You will know. You will know. You will know. Oh, you. Dreams ain't easy. Just stick by your plan. To go from voice to man, you must act like a man. When it gets hard, y'all, just try what you know. Stand up tall and don't you fall.
You will know.
Well, we are back live on Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, and you've been listening to the highlights of the official launch of Ember Korowai Takitini, which happened at the Vodafone Event Centre in Manukau City on June the 19th. Those three songs at the end were from the De La Salle College Choir, and the reason De La Salle College Choir was at the celebration was because Fui Moa Maono Tuiasau, who is the now chairman of Ember Services, is a teacher at De La Salle, and he invited the choir to come along and help in the celebration of the launch of Ember Korowai Takitini. So we have some other news too from Ember. Tomorrow, the MP for Hauraki Waikato, Nanaia Mahuta, is going to visit the Pukekohe hub of Ember and meet Group CEO Daryl Bishop and the executive team at a new hub at Pukekohe, which has been recently opened. It was opened when it was Framework. It is now part of Ember. Take It From Us has been given a statement from the MP for Hauraki Waikato, who is visiting this hub tomorrow, Wednesday, July the 3rd. It says, as the MP for Hauraki Waikato, I am looking forward to attending Ember Korowai Takitini and meeting with the CEO and executive team and frontline staff at the Pukekohe hub. Ember Korowai Takitini is the merger of two solid service providers, Framework Services and Connect Supporting Recovery, to create an organisation that is able to provide programs, supports and services for people with mental health and disability issues. This is an organisation that is attuned to its community needs. Nanaya Mahuta says she supports the organisation's change of focus, which she says is about empowering mental health and emphasising hope and recovery, positivity and therapies such as mindfulness and meditation. And I guess that very strong message of recovery came out in the highlights of the official launch of Emba Korowai Takitini and the speeches from the Chair, Colin Dawson, the Minister, Dr. David Clark, the Group CEO, Daryl Bishop, and also from Fui Moono Tuiasau. So we're just reading this message from the Honourable Nanaya Mahuta. She says, this government's wellbeing budget, increased funding to mental health and wellbeing services such as Emba Korowai Takitini, and it's a great investment in our grassroots service providers. So Nanaya Mahuta is visiting the Pukekohe Hub, which is run by Emba, meeting the Group CEO, Daryl Bishop, and the executive team. That's happening tomorrow. So that's just another major event in the launch of Emba. And as I said, yesterday was a very important day for all 300 staff at Emba Korowai Takitini. It was the first official day for the organisation, which was born from Framework and Connect Supporting Recovery. And of course, Emba brings you mental health radio. Take it from us. Well, let's take a music break.
Yeah, I just wanted to put in there actually that that was a very powerful broadcast of the opening ceremony, and it was very interesting to note how guys now are starting to come out and actually say how they're feeling without any shame in that, and some very touching stories. And I just thought, wow, man, I've got it easy when I look at, you know, some of the roads people have got to hoe. And I take my hat off to them, and I'd just like to say from me a personal thank you to those that did speak, because it's a good reminder, and I think well done to all of you. In fact, to everybody out there, I think it's incredible. Yeah, well, I am going to a music check. I haven't really given you any information on this one, but I thought with Emba, what do you need, you know, to get a fire going? Again, you need air. And so I've got a song here from Chris Brown and Jordan Sparks, and it's called No Air. And, of course, you're listening to Take From Us, Mental Health Radio, broadcasting here every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on Planet 104.6 FM.
Tell me how I'm supposed to breathe with no air. My breath away. Losing you is like living in a world with no air. Oh, I'm here alone, didn't want to leave. My heart will move, it's incomplete. If there was a way that I can make you understand.
you're so deep. Tell me how you gonna be without me. If you ain't here, I just can't breathe. There's no air, no air. No air, no air. No air.
Well, that's No Air on Mental Health Radio. Take it from us. I'm host Sheldon Brown, and we've been promoting the work of Bravehearts, which is a support group based in Tauranga to support those people who are looking out for people experiencing addiction and mental health. They've got a meeting coming up tonight at 7 p.m. in Hamilton at the AOD Community Trust at 28 Manning Street, and the speaker there is going to be Stephen King, who's the director of the AOD Trust in Manning Street. Further meetings, Tauranga on the 9th of July at 7 p.m. That's at Elam Tauranga at 59 Koromiko Street. And then again back in Auckland at West Auckland on Thursday the 11th
and we're
of July
have to
at
disappear.
6 p.m. We're going to have
yeah,
to disappear.
Yeah, we're out of here.
Okay,
yeah.
We're out of here with
we'll
Joe
catch you
Cocker.
Next week. You have a good one.